Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. I'm Guy, and if you're watching on YouTube, great. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. Check out the podcast down in the description below. If you're listening to the podcast, you can watch this video. This will be a good video to watch because we're going to go through a bunch of guys that the 49ers might draft. On the show today, back on the show today, is my guy, Jeff Schwartz, offensive line expert, footwork guru, big man lover. Big man lover. Yeah. No comment.
That's my wife, but sure. Okay.
Jeff had a great career at Oregon, then played 8 years in the NFL. His podcast with an S, Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You. I always listen. Bear Bets, his Fox Gambling podcast, is out. Yeah. And Jeff is a voter for the Joe Moore Award, yes, which every year awards the best offensive line in college football. Jeff watches a ton of college football and NFL tape. And we're here to use his expertise to figure out, among other things, who the 49ers can draft in the first round. Did I get everything in?
I think you got everything. Yeah. Does everyone have to do your hey guy symbol now? Is that like, are we doing a...
No, you can just...
Hey guy.
Hey guy. I'll get you a hat.
Oh, I'll take a hat. I'm 7 5/8. I'm sure you got the fitted hats.
I haven't gone fitted, Jeff. No, but no, haven't gone fitted. But
would your hat fit Bruce Bochy's head? Is the snapback big enough?
We might need two hats. We might sew two hats together. Jeff's also from Southern California and is a big San Francisco Giants fan, yes, living in Charlotte, North Carolina.
I grew up a Niners fan too. So
okay.
I think my dad said he was in the Super Bowl was rooting for the Niners, I think, over the Chiefs, even though his son won a Super Bowl with the Chiefs, not me, my brother
Mitchell,
because he's a Niners fan. I mean, that's the team we grew up watching. I still remember we were driving in the car, I think, back from my grandparents who lived in Santa Rosa, on with the Garrison Hurst overtime touchdown run. I remember listening to that what was it, 97 yards, some insane touchdown run he had against the Jets, I believe it was, early in the season. That's in the car, like going nuts as we're driving home. So I'm a Niners guy. I have been for a long time.
All right. In preparation for this video, Jeff, I've been watching a lot of YouTubes. Oh. And one thing that was funny is a lot of these prospects get asked this time of year, who do you like watching? Who are your idols? And Olufoshinu, who's from Penn State, and Joe Alt from Notre Dame, both said basically the same thing. They both said, you know, I love watching Trent Williams. But Olufoshinu's like, but I only watch him for entertainment because he does things that no one else can do. And then the next video I watched was Joe Alt. And he's like, you know, I don't compare myself to Trent. I watch him because he's the best and I love watching him. But it's not exactly like film study in the way I watch other guys.
Yes.
You agree? So can you just explain? I mean, we all talk about Trent Williams like he is, the best. But it's safe to say that you are not drafting the next Trent Williams in all likelihood in any draft.
Okay, so a lot of the Hall of Fame guys that play the offensive line position, they often do things that is not repeatable. You know, like they're their own player. And so when you try to watch guys and you want to mimic their technique, you obviously want to watch someone that you align with physically, athletically, and the techniques that you can often do. You know, Joe Thomas, I've talked to him off and on about offensive line technique, and he would tell me things. I'm like, Joe, you're the only person that can do that. The rest of us can't. Like, you can.
Like Trent what? Williams, what's an example? What are we talking about?
Okay, I'll tell you a story. I've said this before, but my brother told me this, and my brother was in Cleveland with Joe Thomas, and they were playing the Cowboys. And, you know, when you're in the AFC, you play an NFC team, the old schedule, every 4 years, right? Now, with the new 17th game, you flex in another team, but every 4 years. So Joe Thomas had not played DeMarcus Ware in the previous 4 years. He's a little bit concerned about DeMarcus Ware. And what DeMarcus Ware did for the longest time, his best move, was that one-arm bull rush, right? That one long arm he pressed out, right? And so my brother about second quarter says, "Hey, Joe, how's it going?" And he goes, "Oh, I figured it out. I just punch his hand when it comes to the long arm. So as he goes to bull rush, like, I just punch his hand." Okay, no one else in the world can do something like that. There's just no one else that can catch his hand in midair with his punch. As the hand's coming to him, he just catches it. Like, that's it. Like, you can't teach that technique to anyone else. It's physically impossible. Only Joe can do that. And there's things that Trent Williams does athletically that only he can do, because at times his technique is not the best. He's just stronger, more athletic, can recover better. It can get guys on the ground easier. So you wouldn't even teach half the stuff he does because he's just Trent Williams. So watching him for entertainment is certainly true. I think we all watch on some entertainment, but I wouldn't watch Trent Williams for technique and be like, this is how I want someone to play. That's just not the way Trent Williams plays. He doesn't have to, because he's so good.
Part of what the Niners are looking for, what people, when we talk about these guys, when I talk about it, are looking for, Jeff, is, well, who can eventually replace Trent? Does he look like he's slowing down at all to you?
I don't think so. But I also think that the idea of replacing a Hall of Famer with another Hall, you just want, you know, obviously, like, probably average, you know, just average. Think about offensive line play that we're finding out. It's interesting. I had not thought about this like this for a while. I think it's worth talking about. Is sometimes it's not about finding a Hall of Famer. It's about finding five just good dudes. Like, you're more of the sum of your parts than you are just one offensive lineman. Like, would you rather have Trent Williams and four okay guys, or just five sort of guys you can rely on that don't screw up? I mean, I think sometimes you'd rather take the five good guys over the one Hall of Famer and four guys, or maybe even just like two guys that are blah, two good guys and a Hall of Famer. I think having five just like good offensive lineman guy might be better than having the Hall of Famer who anchors your offensive line if the rest of your line isn't that great.
So if you were a GM, you wouldn't go out and get the highest paid left tackle in the league.
If the rest of my offensive line was set. I would do that, but I wouldn't sacrifice like having a poor right guard or right tackle to have a good left tackle, if that makes sense. Like it makes sense.
Niner fans, it makes sense. Like they're obsessed with replacing somebody on this line.
And I'm not saying that you should get rid of Trent Williams, but I'm just saying that, like, I think we're finding out that it's more about like your weakest link than it is your best player. That makes sense.
Yep.
And we saw it in the Super Bowl, right? Like, in the weakest link was the right guard. Obviously it was replaced and the backup came in, but it's like the backup haven't planned and played at all, had some mental errors, and the rest is history. Like, that is something that I think teams are figuring out, is that, you know, we don't need to have the best. I mean, again, I'm not saying you shouldn't have Trent Williams, but the sum of the parts is better than one elite guy and a couple bumps.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll say before we start getting into the guys here is, like, the right guard spot for the Niners is weird because they've been rotating it. John Feliciano feels like the better player, but he plays half as many snaps as Spencer Burford. Like, Spencer Burford is, if you said who's the starter, you would say him because he plays more snaps. But he's also the guy that ad-libbed a little bit on third down in the red zone against Chris Jones and made the wrong decision.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay, you want to dive into some guys now?
Let's do it, yeah.
Now, just a few points of reference for people. Daniel Jeremiah, looking at his big board, he's got 10 offensive linemen in his top 44 players.
Yeah.
His last mock draft has 9 offensive linemen going in the top 25. The Niners have the 31st pick. We're going to use for a visual here and just a point of reference, the PFF big board, just because PFF is visually, it's really easy to look at. I don't know if you agree necessarily with the way they have this ranked, but Pro Football Focus has 12 offensive linemen in their top 45 overall prospects, and 10 in their top 31. So what we're dealing with here is the possibility that the 49ers are drafting like the 7th to 10th best offensive lineman in this draft with the 31st pick, right?
But remember, too, the big board has some centers in there
Yeah.
That aren't going to be, you know, like Jackson Powers Johnson is not an option for the Niners. So like it's sort of, you know, and I mean, Graham Barron, I think we'll get to him in a second. Might be like in sort of ideal spot where he can draft him, but you know, he might play interior offensive line as well. So it's also worth pointing out that we'll get through this list. A lot of these guys, I like actually a guard in the NFL. So we can certainly draft them and play tackle, but in their ideal position would end up being guard. So we'll get through this list and we'll talk about that. So not all these guys, I think, end up being tackles in the NFL.
Okay, so we'll just roll through and you tell me, like, if you agree kind of with where the guy is. Joe Alt seems to be clearly everybody's number one.
Yes.
Tackle seems by a wide margin.
He's really good. He's 6'8 and a half and moves like he's 6'3, man. He's such an efficient mover. He's very good in the run game. He's able to redirect on the fly. And in the pass protection, he plays big. He's big. He understands using his long arms and his big base as far as shooting off defenders. The one issue I have with his play, and it's something that can be dealt with quickly, is in pass protection, he tends to sort of flutter back a little bit instead of just kind of sitting in place and locking, you know, a defender down, which he can totally do. You can see right here, the first con says, the kick slides don't strike. Like, he doesn't have a great pass set at times. But dude, he's good. And the other thing that people use as a knock on him, I don't see this as a knock, is that he is not an overly violent player. You watch him play, you don't come away thinking to yourself, man, that guy really punches someone. But guys who are 6'8 and a half tend not to be violent looking athletes. Like, they're too big. They have long levers. They don't look explosive and violent, but you don't have to play that way to be good at offensive line. And I he's to me number one. I think he would be drafted, at seven by the Titans.
Is there a clear who's your second guy? PFF has Talisi Fuanga.
Yeah,
Troy Fatanu, who was on
overall offensive line.
Who would you take second?
I would probably put Fuaga slightly ahead of Fatanu. That'd be okay with me. Olu's up there as well, which I think we'll get to in a second. Yeah, he's right there. Jackson Powers
Fashanu from Penn State. Yeah,
Jackson Powers Johnson. I think if he didn't play center, well, there he is right there. I'm not seeing this list, by the way. So I'm glad I'm. And he would be higher if he played any other position besides center, I feel like.
Would it be wrong? Is it wrong to take a center? What if he's the best off? Is there a chance that he's the best offensive lineman available at the end of the first round and you take him? Or was that crazy?
If he's available, he can play guard in the NFL. He's not playing tackle. The Niners need a center?
No, but they could use a guard or a tackle and eventually a center, right? Yeah. Jake Brendel's their center now. So could you draft him
at 31. I would wait and take like a Zach Frazier in the second round or something. Okay. Or wait for someone else. I wouldn't take him there to play. I think he'll be gone anyways. So the Fuaga from Oregon State, he's interesting. I feel like we're missing a little bit of – we're overzealous because he's such a physical player and he moves so well, though we're disregarding a little bit of issues I have with him. That's why I think he'll struggle at tackle. I see him more as a guard in the NFL. And you see right here, the very bottom one right here. Okay. This is why it's important to watch sort of film with an understanding of what's happening around the offensive lineman, not just him himself. Because if you watch Oregon State's offense, their quarterback very rarely took deep drops. He just would like catch the ball, stay in the pocket, and throw it. And they weren't in third and long very often. The offense ran the ball well in first, second down. But they weren't in these like pass protection situations. They were ahead against a team like UCLA. Didn't have a lot of, you know, they just were running the ball well. Didn't have to worry about pass protection. Same with Utah when Utah went to Oregon State as well. And there were not many plays when he had to pass protect with his quarterback at 9 or 10 yards deep, which is how they're going to set. How deep they're going to set in the NFL on third down. And so it's not easy, but a lot easier as an offensive lineman when you have less room to cover because your quarterback is not going so deep in the pocket. And that being said, he still had a problem with his outside arm getting knocked down a lot and getting beat to the edge. But again, DJU was up in the pocket, not back. So when he got beat around the edge, it looks like nothing. It looks like the ball's gone, and that's a winning pass protection rep. It's a little bit of concern, and you can see right here that's the bottom one right there from PFF. He didn't have to go deep though, because that offense, DJU didn't really come. He didn't go to 10 yards. You know, I think, beginning of the Oregon game, he gets beat fairly quickly by Brandon Dorlos, who's a defensive tackle rushing a defensive end. Like that's a little worrisome, because that guy should not beat him. So I think he's a guard in the NFL. He's a guy that can play tackle, but I see him as a potential move inside and becomes, really, really good player guard.
So we get off like franchise tackles immediately in this draft, right? It sounds
Olu's a tackle.
Okay.
And I think he won't get to the 31. He's a freak, man. He's so powerful, can move so well. He just has to clean up his pass protection. That's it. He just technique wise has to get better in pass pro. That's what you have to do. Look, that's what coaching's for, right? So, and people talk about ankle flexibility with him, but he's working with Duke Manyweather, so I'm not worried about his ankle flexion. It's going to be fine.
That's your guy. Who's that's the my guy?
Yeah,
guru.
Yeah. He'll be fine with that. But just getting more consistent. He's young, man. Like, he could come out last year, been the top tackle in the draft. He would have only started like 8 games in his career. Just hasn't played a lot of football. Still 2 years, but pretty raw. And then above him on PFF's list was Fatanu, man. Dude, he is so much fun to watch, the kid from Washington. But to me, he's a guard in the NFL too. So I think that he's probably more ready to play tackle than Fuaga is, I feel like, in the NFL early on. But I think he's a guard again. So you can draft him as a tackle. You'd be fine putting him there. But I think his best position in the NFL will be guard.
He's 20. He's a little older than these other guys too. I don't know how much that matters. He's 23.
Sixth year guy, yeah.
And whereas you're looking at a lot of 21-year-olds. Okay, so it sounds like you actually think that Olu Fashanu might be worth the second O-line pick here, since he's a tackle after Alt.
Yeah, I mean, if you want strictly tackle, yes, but I think a lot of teams think Fuaga is a right tackle, like plug and play right tackle right now.
Oh, okay.
I think Fatanu is looked at as more of a hybrid player. But Olu, yeah, I mean, Olu probably, I'm looking at the what's the order here of the draft? I mean, you look at I think Tennessee goes Alt at 7. You could see even the Jets at 10. I think they still can address offensive line. And you get to New Orleans, Indianapolis. I mean, these are all Seattle at center, could take a center at 16. I mean, the Bengals, I know they addressed Trent Brown, but they still, it's a 1-year deal. There's a lot of teams that could take some of these offensive linemen. I think they're going to take them, basically.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I see those guys being gone. And J.C. Latham from Alabama will be gone before then too. So, we talked offline about for this show, and you mentioned, would the Niners trade up for anyone? I wouldn't. I think I was thinking about this today, or talking yesterday about it. I think on my podcast, trading up in the draft is typically not a very fruitful, guy. Like, especially for quarterback outside of Patrick Mahomes, it's mostly just been misses, right? Like, I just, if you're 31, you're the Niners, trading up in the first round, you probably lose your first round pick next year, which isn't great, right? Yeah. Like, that to me is not worth any of these tackles, 2 first round picks. Like, 2 years ago, the Saints traded up for Trevor Penning out of Northern Iowa, and they gave up a first round pick for him in the following season. You can't do that. And so it comes down to, okay, how many people are going to be available at 31 based off of how this draft could go?
Yeah. I mean, I guess the question, and if there's a lot of logic, the Niners once traded up for Brandon Ayuk, but not for an offensive lineman. And if they're not, to me,
they drafted in the first round. They gave a first round pick for him.
I don't remember what was the actual compensation. They moved up from the 20s to the teens.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm actually curious about that.
Yeah. To me, this, you're confirming that it does not feel like the type of draft that moving up from 31 to 21 doesn't, that's not the realm where you go from solid guard to all pro tackle, right?
Yeah, I think the Niners did not give up next year's first. So that's not a bad trade then. to move up. That's if you give up next year's first to move up, you're insane. But I think this is a guy, it's a very deep draft, a deep offensive line draft. Like you could get potentially a Graham Barton or a Jordan Taylor, I mean, Jordan Morgan, and you'd be in a perfect spot. Like you don't have to move up to get these. It's a very deep draft. And you look at teams ahead of you, a lot of them are going best player available. But I think Baltimore needs an offensive lineman, but at 30, if there's a wide receiver there that they really like, they go wide receiver, right? Is that so? Houston has that pick, or Arizona has 27.
Arizona has 27.
You know, Arizona could go tackle, possibly could guard Tampa Bay. I mean, there's a lot of teams that Green Bay at 25 could certainly go offensive line, but there's no guarantee that they always draft sort of like how they should. It just depends on where these guys, if the Cowboys go tackle over center, then that's one less guy for the Niners. They draft Jackson Powers Johnson. The Niners are right there. But I really do think that you're looking at sort of, if you're looking at who's there at 31, it's probably Jordan Morgan's there. Graham Barton from Duke could be there. He's a kind of a tackle guard. I'm not big on Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. He has a lot of upside, but needs some work getting there. And I think if you're a guy that sort of in championship now mode, yeah, the Niners are in, I don't know if you can wait for him to develop. If that
so
makes
he's
sense.
Been a guy that's come up a lot just because I think he's, you know, he's 6'7", 320, yeah, 7'3", 330, but you don't think he's ready to play right away.
I don't think so. I mean that all the stuff about the cons are pretty true. It's his eyes are not great. That's the right there where you highlight his eye. He didn't see things that well at times. I just think he can be good, but if you're like, we got to win now, which the Niners I think are, while Purdy's still cheap, you got to get someone I think that's ready to play a little sooner than him.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app, because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game, and I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value, find high quality seafood as well that you can trust delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code ham to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code ham.
Okay, so Guyton is off of Jeff's board. Amarius Mims from Georgia will be gone.
Hey, if he falls to 31, I think you draft him immediately. Holy heck. I mean, same as Guyton as far as needs reps, but like ready to play now. He only has 800 reps in college. 800 snaps. It's insane. He doesn't play a lot of football, but dude, he is, he's a big fella. I would take him. If he's there at 31, I'd run up to the turn my card in.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, Guyton only has 15 starts in 4 years.
Hasn't played a lot, yeah.
Which is, would that be alarming just in and of itself in any prospect here? Production versus, it's one thing you have 15 starts.
For Mims or for?
No, Guyton. For Guyton. Four years of college football, 15 starts?
Yeah, I think he's really, really raw and has a lot of things to work on.
All right, so Mims you don't think will be there at 31. J.C. Latham you're saying won't be there.
No, I don't think so.
By then. So then you get to a guy who, Graham Barton. I think
Graham might be there, yeah.
This guy popped up in a lot of the early mock drafts for the Niners.
Yeah.
But he's, he played left tackle at Duke, right?
Last year, was
a center at one point.
He's played all over the place. Yeah, he might end up being a center when it's all said and done. You know, that might be where he ends up in the NFL.
But he's a plug-and-play guard then right away? Is that what you're saying?
No, he can play tackle.
Okay, so you could draft him and put him at right tackle.
Yeah.
All right, so you got Graham Barton on the list as a possibility. And now we've got Zach Frazier. He's a center, right? Zach Frazier from Western is a center.
Yes.
Yep. So we get to Jordan Morgan. Do you think Jordan Morgan will be there at 31?
Yes. I think he's most likely to be there at 31 if the Ravens don't draft him, I think, before the Niners do. That's where we talk about trading up. If you're just trading up two spots to get ahead of them, that could be worth it. If you don't give up, or one spot, you don't give up your first round pick next year and you really want Jordan Morgan, that feels like the one trade I could see, making for the Niners. Just going up to take the Lions spot at 29 and grab yourself Jordan Morgan.
And why do you think he's a Ravens pick?
Well, they need a tackle and I would take him over Guyton if he's there. That's why.
I've seen a few people say they think he's a guard in the NFL, that he's not a tackle. Give me your breakdown on Jordan Morgan.
I think he ends up possibly being a better guard in the NFL, like I do Fatanu and Fuaga, but I think he's passable at tackle. I think he's a guy that can do both. He might be better at guard eventually, but he can play tackle for you in the Niners offense for sure.
Right away.
Yeah.
22 and a half years old, 6'6", 320 pounds.
Let's look at this. You watch this film against UCLA. It's not bad. That's the thing about college. It was fun this year in the Pac-12 guy because the first year in forever, you could watch Pac-12 offensive linemen play against good defensive linemen in the conference. Mm-hmm. UCLA, Washington, Oregon, like all these teams had pro defensive line. It's never happened before.
UCLA's got multiples.
And what's funny is like it used to be USC and it wasn't this year. Bear might be drafted at some point, but like you watch Washington, but they have three draftable defensive linemen. Look at Oregon. They have one this year, multiple next season. UCLA has multiple picks, including a first-round pick. Even Utah with Jonah Ellis, what he did. I'm not sure he's draft eligible, but like it was
he's in the draft.
Oh, he is? Okay. It was a year when you could watch Pac-12 offensive linemen against guys that are going to play in the NFL.
So is there anybody else we should go to here? I mean, this feels like the end of the road there.
I think that is – you were reaching for anyone else at 31 is my take. So here's the thing about drafting the end of the first round. That's pretty interesting is most teams. If you listen to anyone who talks about this, right, they have like 20 first round grades, right? On average, guys, you're drafting someone here in the first round that you probably don't have a first round grade on. And so if you have a position of need, like the Niners say, we need an offensive lineman. Yeah. Kingsley from BYU, you just maybe overdraft him by 10 spots because you need an offensive lineman. I don't hate that. In the top of the first round, I hate that. Get the best player. Like, but at 31, it's like, okay, he's going to go 42. I'll take him at 31. I'm fine with that, if that makes sense, right? And I think in this situation, if that's what you need and your board is out of first-round grades, there's no one there that's dropped to where, like, you got to take him, otherwise you look stupid, then this overreach for an offensive lineman. To me, that's okay in this situation. I wouldn't recommend that at 10, that's overreach for an offensive lineman. But at 31, again, this is not a year when there's a lot of pass rushers, right? Like, there's no Armstead replacement that's going to be available at 31, guy. I don't think so, unless Newton drops, which I highly doubt he's going to drop that far at all. Then reach for an offensive lineman. That's fine.
Yeah, you're not. I don't think, at least if you're the Niners, you're not drafting a receiver here. I think the only other position, you're right, you're obviously not taking a quarterback. You need a tight end, but you're not taking one in the first round. You're not taking a linebacker here.
Your corner, maybe.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. They need a third corner, either a nickel or an outside guy. So that would be the other consideration. But, you know, I don't know, Jeff. It feels like corner really feels like a tough position to hit on in the draft. I think you just got you're getting a solid, even if it's a guard eventually, you're getting a solid guy here. That's part of the question for you today, right? Is like, how safe is this 31st pick at offensive line? Because if it's not that safe, then maybe you consider doing something riskier like a corner. But
I think that, again, I have Jordan Morgan ahead of Guyton. I feel like the eight guys we talked about beforehand, including, we haven't spent much time on JPJ, but he'll be drafted in the first round. The Vegas total, by the way, is 9.5 for offensive linemen in the first round. And everyone, I think, has 9.
I know Breer wrote a while ago 7 in the top 20.
Well, that changed a little bit, I think, with the Chargers offseason, with them need to take a wide receiver at 5 now. So that might change sort of the math of this. But again, look, like the Jets also were a team that we looked at as needing an offensive tackle. They in theory don't need one right this season. They have 2. So at 10, I think, so the good thing for the Niners, I think, is that there are teams at the top that might not take offensive linemen now that you thought might. And that's the Chargers, who I think Malik Nabers, whoever there is, like, right, going to slot right in there, right, for that. And then the Giants, I mean, look, if Rome Odunze is there at 6, I would take Rome. I just would have. I wouldn't go offensive line here. And then at 9, Chicago, I guess, could go offensive line or defense. The Jets at 10 were mocked all year with offensive line. But they got Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses. They don't need a lineman this year. Maybe they go for Brock Bowers to help out Aaron Rodgers immediately. Minnesota, Denver need quarterbacks. And then you start getting the run of the offensive linemen. I could see like Vegas. Well, New Orleans.
You don't think Vegas goes? DJ just mocked Penix to the Raiders at 13 yesterday.
Ooh, that's awfully rich.
That's too high. You don't like Penix there. Do you like him in the first round?
I don't like Penix or Nix in the first round.
Yeah.
Everyone keeps saying that Bo Nix is like a Sean Payton type of quarterback, which I agree with.
I've heard that.
But like at 12, he's just too early. But then I can make the case. But I can make the case too, again, like value. Quarterbacks are so important. If you think he's your guy, take him at 12. Don't wait. You know what I mean? Like if he's your guy that you think is the guy that can run your offense and take you to the promised land, draft him at 12.
I mean, I guess the thing I would say to that is I've seen a lot of that. I'm a little skeptical that his college accuracy translates to the NFL. Why is he a Sean Payton guy?
I think he's a second round pick.
But why is he a Sean Payton guy?
Because his pre-snap processing is really good. His post-snap is the concern, right? Like when things aren't perfect, what does he do?
Yeah, well, I mean, don't you have to – isn't Sean – what? Who are the Sean Payton guys? Drew Brees and –
Drew Brees, that's it.
Tony Romo? I mean
Taysom Hill?
Yeah, like I don't. What does that mean? I've seen a lot of that too. I don't know.
I don't see Penix or Nix as really impactful professionals.
You don't think they should be, or you don't think they will be?
I don't think they will be impactful like quarterbacks in the NFL.
You don't think they will be first rounders, or you don't think they should be first rounders?
Oh, they should be. They might be first rounders, yeah, I think Nix has a better chance to be impactful than Penix does, but I don't think neither of them are like taking you to Super Bowls.
I filtered this board now to throw corners in. So you like in that same range of Jordan Morgan on this big board, you got Kamari Lassiter and Kool-Aid McKinstry. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mike Sanristil.
Is he a safety or corner? Oh, he's a corner. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think Morgan, you're taking Morgan. I think after Morgan, if Morgan's gone, you have to really consider some other position, I think, if you're looking for off your big board.
Okay. So that's the takeaway from this video is your cut line is if Jordan Morgan's gone, there's a drop off in the next. If he's gone, but there's a center there, you would not do that.
Well, right? if it's Jackson Powers Johnson, I would absolutely do that.
But that'd it feels unlikely deal. That.
Correct.
Is Jordan Morgan going ahead of.
Well, it really depends. Again, the center position is really interesting because you look at what happened in free agency and the Dolphins needed a center. They got one in free agency. The who else needed a center? Got one in free agency too. Pittsburgh? I think Pittsburgh might have. No, they have it. Someone else in the first couple spots got a center in free agency Dallas.
Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee did, but no, they weren't going to draft him at five. But you look at like Dallas at 24.
Lloyd Cushenberry, the third.
Yeah, but like you look at Dallas at 24, he's okay. He's from the Broncos. Dallas at 24 could take a tackle or Jackson Powers Johnson. Pittsburgh at 20 could take JPJ. He could be there at 31.
I'm looking through these O-line signees. Who are you thinking of? Patriots re-signed their guy. Oh, that's a tackle. Center, here we go. Bears, Shelton. How do you say the guy, the commander? Tyler?
Biadic. He's good.
Dolph. I've read his name. I've never said it. People don't talk about centers enough, in my opinion. You know, we don't talk about alignment enough, Jeff. Okay, so you wouldn't hate if Jackson Powers Johnson's there.
Yeah.
There's not a scenario where both he and Jordan Morgan are there.
I think that the JPJ thing is interesting. If he's not a center, his value is like, but you know, he's a center, so he's graded that way. Like, there's not much negatives. I don't imagine.
But he can play guard, right?
Look, there's one. We just went through all these guys with four or five negatives. There's one negative. Then that doesn't even show on film.
Short arms.
Doesn't even show on film. His film is like flawless. There's no negatives. But he's a center, so he's not going to be as highly valued as a tackle.
Yeah. Which, does that make sense to you as a guy that played in the league?
Yeah.
Is that right? I mean, we spent all this time talking about interior pressure.
Well, yeah, it's interesting, right? I'm glad you made that point. So like, I was thinking about this in regards to the Chiefs signing Creed Humphrey, I imagine, to a long-term deal, is a lot of the best teams over the years have had the same center. Now, New England was so good for so long, but they basically sort of have the same guys inside for a long period of time. You look at Peyton Manning with Jeff Saturday. You look at what Creed Humphrey has done with Patrick Mahomes. Guys just sort of stay, you know, like they stay with the quarterback. And you look at what Pouncey in Pittsburgh for somebody, like they just stay guy. And Kelsey was obviously in Philly for his entire career. If they're that good, you don't let them walk. The one guy that walked was like Alex Mack just kept going different places, but he kept following Shanahan because Shanahan knew he was that. He was a center everywhere until he retired, right? He was in Cleveland and then he was in Atlanta and then he was in San Francisco with Shanahan.
Yeah.
Because the center does a lot in that offense. And so, if you draft JPJ, in my opinion, you have him for 10 to 12 years.
Like, I just don't understand. Like, he's in charge of protect. He's not in charge, but he's.
Well, it depends on what offense you're in. Yeah.
He's co-captain on protections, right? Help the quarterback out at minimum on protections.
And
right?
In the Niners offense, he's doing the protections, it sounds like.
Well, they screwed a few protections up in critical.
We talked about this before. It's my least favorite thing about the offense.
That the center does protections or that Kyle does it?
That this both. You should let the quarterback do that. And in conjunction with the offensive line. But the quarterback's got to be in charge of that on game day.
A couple questions here for right tackle. I like guys. This is from YouTube. For right tackle, I like guys better than I like the end of the first year guys. Go with Javon Foster or Garrett Greenfield at 124 over Jordan Morgan at 31.
I mean, are you sure they're going to be there? That's the thing about the draft, right, guy? Like, I don't know. You can get a right tackle now or wait. Certainly wait. I forget if Greenfield's guy I watched or his teammate. I might have watched his teammate who I thought got it. Jim Nagy was talking highly about him, and I didn't think he was as good as Jim Nagy was talking about. Look, you don't need one in the first round, but you're also not guaranteed those guys will be there either. So in the later rounds.
Yeah. Mason McCormick, another name.
Yeah, I think McCormick was the guy I watched. I didn't terribly think was as good as Jim Nagy made him out to be.
South Dakota State.
Yeah. Two South Dakota State guys will be drafted. Two of them.
Nate says the Niners have a top five-ish roster for how many years? I hope they continue to not listen to us on who to draft.
I don't know. You just lost a D-tackle. That's pretty good. I don't know. I mean, it's hard, man. Hard to keep it going, especially when you pay Brock Purdy soon.
Barton will be around. We'll go around 21. Draft probably. Marshawn Lloyd in the third round. Oh, is this Kyle Shanahan's burner? I Marshawn Lloyd. I have a hard time seeing them getting
eight yards a carry, but seven carries a game.
I know. He runs his ass off, man.
Wait. What does 340 pounds have to do with being injured?
Invader Niners says Mims has 340 pounds on those joints and he's had injury concerns.
What does that weight have to do with anything? He's 6'7" and a half. Have you seen what he looks like?
You're saying there's the same amount of force on his joints as there is on my joints?
I'm saying his joints are fine with his weight. Jackson Paris Johnson has like 335 pounds. No one cares at center. So, yeah.
Jalen Moore deserves more playing time.
That's, I mean, they certainly could go with guys on the roster.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, they could have, they've been going with guys on their roster and their offensive line doesn't quite feel good enough, you know?
I think that they hide it with the offense, but then you see like when it really matters against the Chiefs, you know, like that's the thing about it. When it, you know, you sort of have to be ready for those what if moments, those moments you really need your line. And a lot of times I think the Niners are just offensively, their scheme is so good. And I think Shanahan does better than anyone setting up his run blocking for success. But you got to be able to, to win in those big moments.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone. Go to your iPad. Download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert? Get outside. Enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. And use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
By the way, you talk about side note. Caleb Williams is going to be on with Colin Cowherd. Doesn't he have a pro day? And like, how can you do both at the same time?
Probably do it from there.
Oh, a remote. Yeah, good call.
So I'm just put a microphone in his hand. Be interesting to see how Brendan Rice comes out of the day. You like Brendan Rice? A lot of Niner fans want a draft that has Brendan Rice, Frank Gore Jr., and Luke McCaffrey. I actually like Brendan Rice. I know
Brendan Rice and his dad have sort of made up, right? Like. Because there was a time period when he didn't really acknowledge.
Yeah, Jared just wasn't around a lot, I think, in Brendan's youth.
Is that something like we weren't allowed to ask him about when he came on the radio? It was like, do not.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it was like early in Colorado. It was like, don't ask him about his dad.
Yeah. I just remember doing a Colorado game his freshman year. And one of the coaches said, hey, just, you know, I know you're going to say he's Jerry's son. Fine. Like, whatever. But give his mom some love. Like she raised him and she deserves a lot of credit. And I thought that was a really sweet thing of that coach. That it was an assistant coach of that coach to do. So
the pro day is so dumb. It's completely scripted. Do you remember last year USC's pro day, it rained and everyone was like, they need an indoor facility. It's like it rains 4 days a year in Los Angeles. Like take a deep breath, everybody.
Hey, by the way, you got to go here in 5 minutes, but I woke up this morning. I saw the news that Washington Athletics Director Troy Dannon left for Nebraska since being there in October. And I know as an Oregon Duck that that news thrilled you. Be interesting to see what they do. I mean, do they just go Pat Chun from Washington State?
Stepping stone school. So that's what people are saying. I'm not saying that.
That's what people are saying.
Is this Caleb Williamson on NFL Network in a couple minutes?
I think it's on NFL Plus. I don't know if it's live on NFL Network.
That's too much work. I'm not watching it. Look. When we talk about, we got a doorbell. Oh, someone's getting some food
might
drop
be my
off.
That might be my hats, actually.
Really? Nice. When we talk about NIL and the support for that guy, and sort of the way college athletics is run now, we don't talk about it enough from like the presidential level. And it just, I don't know if Washington's all in on at the very top of needing to compete, because Kalen DeBoer got $10 million, they said, right, in this contract that came out this week from Alabama. I don't think Washington was willing to go that high on his deal, which we sort of had talked about on the radio. Like, that has to be what he's going to make. Like, that's what the price is for a coach that wins all his games, takes you to a championship game, like $10 million a year. Dannon left for an athletics program that's not better. Nebraska's not better than Washington, is it?
Well, they have more money. Way more football tickets.
They have that. They have more money.
I think I've said this for a long time. Like, it's really critical for UW. They're at a critical point. They went really far. They had a great football season, went to the championship game. They need to turn that into NIL money. They're going to the Big Ten where everybody's got a ton of money. They're not getting a full share. And they don't have the NIL boost. They got NIL money, but it's not quite. It's not Alabama, Michigan. It's not on that level. They do not have that level of financial support.
Yep.
And some people bristle at that, but it's just the reality. Now there was a lot of talk that Troy Dannon was just a bad fit. I've heard, I know I saw softies like, I'm going to tell a story today on the radio. He's the big Seattle radio host. And I've heard from people that it wasn't a great fit.
I went on with Softy last week and
Dave Softy Mahler on KJR.
In the middle of the interview, they just played the championship call from the Pac-12 championship game, just right in the middle of the interview. It's just so disrespectful.
Just to mess with you.
Just to mess with me. Just Cam Cleveland just stepping all over.
Cleveland.
All over,
yeah.
Cleveland. All over.
Tony Castricone.
Tony Castricone.
Chop Robinson. That's a defensive lineman that DJ just mocked. I see people.
Yeah, I see that. I see they have him, like 29 or something. It's the Lions. What is that's a lot. That's a lot of numbers. 1, 2. I can't read that much.
Somebody just put their whole draft in the comments.
Is that the tackle from Yale right there? The number?
Kieran.
No.
Really?
No. Okay. My last take of the day.
Okay.
I watched the Yale kid specifically because I saw Dane Brugler say he's a top 100 kid. No chance. Here's the deal. When you watch offensive linemen, I'm going to give you guys a tip, okay? When you watch offensive linemen at smaller schools, okay, Yale is one of them. South Dakota State, we talked about them. North Dakota State. They have to physically dominate their opponent, okay? So Cody Mauch was drafted last year from North Dakota State, the redhead with the long hair, right? When you watch his film, you said, holy shit, he is pancaking dudes left and right. He's like physically imposing his will. My man from Yale pancakes nobody. Now, I watched 2023 film. Maybe in 2022, he was better. He only played 4 games last season before he got hurt. But, like, I didn't come away thinking to myself, this guy's much better than his opponent, the guys he's playing against. I mean, like, it just – I got to see, like, if you're at a small school, you're an NFL guy, you got to put bodies on the ground. Like, I have to watch your film and think, oh, wow, you are dominating. Because, like, to me, he's a 6th-round pick. You have to develop for a year or two. He is not ready to be a 2nd-round pick and play immediately in the National Football League, in my opinion. I think if teams do that, it's a big mistake. I'm not saying he's undraftable, but to me, he's 6th, 7th round guy.
That's a good take to end on. There he is. Jeff Schwartz, thanks for the insight.
Oh, hey, guy. Do I get my hat soon?
These are samples.
It's too USC-ish, though.
I'm stealing it. It's just a foam finger that it's instead of one finger, it's 2 fingers. That's what it is. I mean,
I know.
All right, brother.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
Thanks to everybody watching. Hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, and I'll talk to everybody later. There goes Jeff, and I'm out next. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.